the government is facing a dilemma. According to the Economic and Social Research Institute, the ESRI, the €165 billion National Development Plan, which sets out the big national infrastructural projects to 2030, may no longer be sufficient to meet demand and may be in need of an overhaul. In a new report, The National Development Plan in 2023 Priorities and Capability, the ESRI warns that labour shortages and other severe capacity constraints in the economy mean that options for expanding the plan and spending on areas like housing and energy, transport, healthcare and education, which would normally be open, may not be suitable in Ireland at present. And that's because any action which would lead to an acceleration in output risks stoking inflation in the construction sector, where it says higher labour supply is simply unavailable. Professor Alan Barrett is director of the ESRI, one of the report authors, and he's here in studio. And a very good morning to you, Alan Barrett. We have this latest, it's a revised National Development Plan, which came to us in 2021, €165 billion of it, a raft of mega projects. Is it a good plan? Is it a flawed plan? Or is it a plan already out of step with the country?
No, I think it's a good plan. That's the first thing to say. But there's a sense in which there's almost a moving target confronting the government. So the first point to be made about Ireland's sort of public infrastructure is we're still paying catch up. Okay, and the reason for that, if you go back, and it might seem like a long time ago, but if you go back to the Great Recession and the austerity period around sort of 2010, 2012, one of the things that was cut very dramatically at the time was spending on public capital. Okay, and that has always happens in economic downturns because it's much easier for governments not to build things, you know, as opposed to actually cutting programs. So there was a significant cutback on public investment around that time. And then the economy essentially grew much more rapidly than most of us had expected. OK, the recovery from the Great Recession was quicker and more robust than we had anticipated. So very, very quickly, really what started happening, I think it was a former colleague of mine, John Fitzgerald, almost described it as a child outgrowing their clothes. OK, so the economy grew more rapidly. Our population has been growing more rapidly. And even when the revised plan was put together in 2021, that was before we had the census in 2022. And when the results of that were published, we saw that the population had grown. So generally, Ireland, and you know, this is a really positive thing, we're growing, our population is growing, but it just means then public infrastructure is creaking. We all understand this in regard to housing, but if you go to our hospital system, our education system, of course, a whole range of areas, you know, we've got real difficulties. Mm. Now, added to that, of course, is we have a lot of targets and ambitions around greenhouse gas emissions. We know as time moves on, that we're not making progress at the pace that had previously been expected.
We're creaking at the seams, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
But we need to play catch up, and we need to play catch up rapidly, and particularly in our commitments to climate.
Absolutely. And in a if there were no constraints, the simple solution would be, well, let's build.
Let's do what the report says. National Development Plan.
And do it all as quickly as possible. But the problem is, again, back to the clothes of the small child. The small child, you go down to the shopping centre and buy whatever, you can't overnight just build the houses, the roads, the hospitals and all these things. They take time. And there's an additional problem for Ireland because we're operating at full employment. Okay, there simply aren't a whole load of people sitting at home with nothing to do who will be in a position to build all these things. Mm. So we have this, it's really a dilemma. We have the needs. We actually have the money, okay, because the public finances are in a good situation. But there is this difficulty that we have a supply constraint.
And your job is to diagnose the problem, to point out the dilemma. Now, it's the choice of government to make as to how they address the dilemma. How do you recommend they address it?
Well, you raise a very sort of subtle and important point. A research institute cannot start making decisions about whether or not you prioritise, say, housing over environmental, over health or whatever like that. Those sort of decisions, really, that is the job of the elected representatives. They have to, in a sense, decide on behalf of the population what the priorities are supposed to be. All we can do is really sort of point to sort of the impacts of various things. things and how they might sort of think about how to prioritise. So when the government puts projects together in these sort of packages, they do a lot of underlying analysis, obviously the officials do. So they do cost-benefit analyses and other analyses to try and give some sort of a ranking of projects, okay, to look at, well, how much is this going to cost and what are going to be the benefits? So one of the things we're suggesting is that they go back and they look at some of those calculations and they now explicitly factor in issues such as supply constraints. Okay, so it would be a question, if you think about a housing project, if there are two projects, okay, and one is more labor intensive than the other, try and do the one that's less labor intensive. So that brings up the importance of things like sort of modular houses, you know, prefabricated houses. There is an issue here, if we decide that housing is really more important than anything else, there's a suggestion that, well, should we be proactively moving away from office construction, hotel construction, other sort of things?
And so what that about really the infrastructural projects and the climate-related projects, things like retrofitting, things like the development of wind and solar power? Mm. And, you know, we need those to meet commitments that we have made to 2030.
Yeah, we absolutely do. Now, again, there is a sort of a discussion in the report, and I'll outline the discussion, but don't take this necessarily as a recommendation. But if you take two options for reducing greenhouse gas emissions, one would be to do housing retrofits, and the other is to increase, the proportion of electric vehicles on the roads.
Supposedly a million by 2030 again.
Okay, but the interesting thing about it is that the housing retrofits, really good idea, but they're very labour intensive. Okay, extra EVs is not labour intensive. Okay, because essentially we would be importing those EVs.
Yes, but we need to develop the infrastructure for them.
Yes, but that's a much more manageable task. Okay, so this is a situation in which you have a target, and there's various ways of meeting
the
target.
You tackle the low hanging fruit.
You certainly go for the projects that are least resource intensive, because again, back to this issue that if we don't have the labour to deliver on a whole load of things.
But it's not now, when an economy at full employment with, you know, a surplus at the moment and massive taxes coming in from
Mary,
you've
answered the question yourself. It's an economy at full employment.
We don't have the people.
We don't have the
push
people.
In the other
we don't
direction.
Have the people. But the one thing I would add, housing, there's a particular issue with housing that I think is worth stressing. Ramping up housing construction in the short term could have this effect of sort of bidding up the cost of construction, okay? Because again, it's injecting demand. But in the longer term, we also know that the more houses you produce, okay, the increased supply, house prices generally can decline. Mm-hmm. So there is this slight difference in housing, that the first round effect and the second round effect can be quite different. And I think in that context, we do look at housing in a slightly different way and say that maybe it's worth taking the short term.
We come back to the dilemma and the choices that have to be made. Dr. Alan Barrett of the SRI, thank you very much for joining us.